Committee on Drug Use, Tadhg, who did the committee hear from today? What was the aim of the hearing?
Yes, we heard from a couple of people today. So we had a couple of professors from Trinity College, including Catherine Comiskey, who's basically calling for a total change in Irish drug policy to tackle this stigma of drug use. She raised a case that she had discovered throughout her research. This is a woman called Patricia, who was born in 1965 and sort of went through all of her life and the sort of different sets of stigma.
Yeah, give us a couple of the bullet points that she raised, because it is quite a compelling story
and maybe is
quite representative of some of the people who struggle with addiction issues.
So the first thing that she raised, she was sexually abused at the age of 7, you know, when a girl of her age would be probably thinking about the Holy Communion was the comparison that Catherine made, you know, and then just the stigma of being sexually abused, especially as a young woman. And then going on further then to first injecting drugs at the age of 15 and the sort of the stigma that's associated with that. And then at the time, you know, when she was 20, same-sex relationships were criminalised at that time. So she was then stigmatised for having a relationship with a woman. You know, the state and society at the time.
Sure, at the time, when it came to the issues of child sexual. And by the way, if you're affected by anything you're hearing here, you can go to rte.ie/helplines. But, you know, when abuse as a child at the time was not something as handled as sensitively as now. And as you say, same-sex relationships were criminalised, or at least, you know, the physical expression of in a same-sex relationship was criminalised.
Yeah, and I think these are all the things that she raises as you know, stigmatised things throughout the years, and sort of bundles them all together, saying that, you know, in tackling drug use more generally, you know, you need to take the stigma out of it and deal with it in a way to really bring harm reduction as the main key element, you know, and so you know those issues around stigma have. That Patricia faced have been tackled, and that there's now the case of dealing with drug use more widely. You know, and then she spoke more broadly about, like, you know, the potential impacts of and, you know, needing nurses to be allowed to prescribe methadone to you know, rather, because at the minute they're not able to. You know, there's some difficulties around. They're allowed to prescribe certain drugs, but they can't prescribe methadone to deal with opiate addiction. So there was cause for that. And I think that's probably broadly supported by my members, probably across all the Oireachtas. And then another professor, Barry McBrien, raising, you know, that if, you know, if a patient can't get methadone from a nurse, they'll either go somewhere else to try and get it, or they'll have to, you know, a doctor will have to, you know, take clinical time. Maybe important clinical time that they would have to do something else to prescribe methadone for a patient. So they're basically the argument that nurses should be able to do it. They're calling for legislative change on that.
Okay. Juno Kenny, you're a member of the committee.
Yes.
You know,
chair. He's the chair.
I'm the chair. I do beg your pardon. Quite the night for filling in information gaps tonight. But you're chair of the committee, and you heard from these people here. So number one, you know, stigmatizing people on top of stigma and trauma they've encountered in their lives, in the view of Professor Catherine Comiskey, doesn't help. And second of all, then, I suppose the issue of prescription to people to make it easier for people to get prescriptions if they're struggling with opiate addiction. Did you find those arguments compelling?
Very compelling. Now, I missed the first session of the committee this morning because I was at another engagement. But the committee thus far has been really kind of very compelling, and we've heard from many stakeholders in terms of this issue. It's quite a complex issue, but I think it's an issue that I think people have moved on in terms of looking for different policies on what we have had. Because we've had a policy of 50 years of kind of, I would say, a failed policy of criminalising people in terms of drug use. And it was kind of, it was very notable. We had two members of the Garda in today, and I thought their statements and approach was quite good. It was quite progressive. These are at the kind of, I suppose, the cold face of prevention. But they understand that, you know, criminalising people simply hasn't worked. Now we have to look at a different model.
All right.
And head-to-head approach is a better approach, but we need to, I think there's a lot of lip service in terms of head-to-head approach. And we got to stop criminalising people. If they want to use drugs, stop criminalising people for using drugs.
Okay. Tadhg, maybe you'd walk us through what the representative on Garda Síochána had to say today at the committee, just for the listeners' benefit before I go to
This was Justin Kelly, who's now the new Deputy Commissioner of the Gardaí, having been appointed earlier this week. He sort of spoke about how Gardaí are supportive of the government's drug strategy, and that they do back a health-led approach in dealing with people who are suffering from addiction, and that they need to take a human rights based approach that are taken to dealing with people who are suffering from addiction, and that the sort of the criminal element is around dismantling supply lines and organised crime. And that they'd rather, that's what they want to be dealing with.
So you were hearing from people not just with a perspective on street policing, it was the overall overarching sale and supply at, well, let's call it the wholesale level, organised crime level.
Yeah, so they spoke about their sort of aims in how they tackle sort of drug importation and dealing with the sort of people at the higher level, maybe might be the best way to describe it. They also sort of ran through the supportive of several of the government initiatives to deal with, you know, as like a health-led approach, like stuff like the drug testing at festivals that is now available for the back of the tent stuff, where, you know, people can leave in samples of, you know, whatever drug they might have, cocaine or ecstasy, and then the HSE will test it, and then they'll post up online on places like Twitter and Instagram, or X and Instagram, the sort of strength levels, or if there's any warnings that need to be put out to people about the drugs that might be circulating.
Whether it is, in fact, the drug.
They don't get it back. It's a ridiculous situation.
Which people, you think it discourages? 100%. You think it discourages people to go and get their drugs tested if they're not going to get it back?
No, but in festival situations, people, if they want to get, if they're getting the drugs tested, they should get them back.
Right. You know, it puts a kind of a health professional in a position where it may not be safe. So if, you know...
Well, if it's not safe, then obviously you don't give it back to the person. But if it is safe, they should give it back.
Right, but how do you decide MDMA content versus non-MDMA content in a pill? Like, and you're putting a medical professional in a position where they're giving back something to somebody that doesn't come... I didn't pass through a health regulator. There are kind of ethical problems there.
But they do it in Holland and different other countries, where actually the substances is actually given back to the person. And I think that's a better model.
Okay. Nessa Harrigan, would you agree with that?
I'd have some concerns about that, I'll be honest with you. And I'm a huge... And we actually argued for the drugs testing at festivals, people in the programme for government. I absolutely agree with it. And I think that the current approach, which is basically an anonymised approach where you have to kind of donate your substance... at the festival has its own problems, and there is a model that's done in Holland, and also there's a model where they don't give it back, but it's not an anonymised process that's worked in the UK very well. I think actually that might be the model that I would prefer. It's not necessarily about handing drugs back, but that you wouldn't have an anonymised system whereby you kind of post the results. I think that has its own problems.
Without, I suppose, getting into the nitty gritty on this, a decriminalisation approach, a regulatory approach, it's been put forward as this idea that if you do this, you end up taking criminal gangs more out of the loop. But do you really believe that a black market element would be removed from this, when some people will always seek stronger drugs and some people will seek cheaper drugs in the event that drugs are taxed to a level that they can, I suppose, go on and pay for the healthcare use? I mean, do people's expectations need to be managed as to what a health-led approach will achieve?
100% they do, because I think there's a lot of expectation that the Drugs Committee and even the Citizens Assembly would have looked at, for example, drug gang violence and the drug trade more widely and internationally. That was never the purpose of the Citizens Assembly. The Citizens Assembly is about the person who uses drugs and how we can make their lives better. And I think that we heard some very interesting evidence from both sessions today. For example, one of the questions I put to the Gardaí, and I have to say the Gardaí were a mine of information on this, and it was a really useful session. One of the questions I asked them was, they described a vista in terms of policing drug gangs in Ireland, whereby we're working cheek or hand in glove with international counterparts and counterparts in Europe. Not, you know, not quarterly, not monthly, but every single day we're constantly in conversation with jurisdictions around the world. And I put it to them, is it a problem that those jurisdictions often have different approaches in terms of legislating for drugs? So, for example, Germany is in the process of legalising cannabis. We know that some other European countries have had legalised substances for quite a long time. Obviously, America has a fully capitalised approach to this, which is problematic in its own way. Is that a challenge for you to work with these jurisdictions? And they said, actually, no, because they're not particularly focused on the user or the low-level person. What they are interested in is the big drug gang who's working with millions of euro. They're often dealing in people trafficking, sex trafficking and guns. That is the level at which they're operating. And they don't concern themselves with that. Well, they do concern themselves. Sorry, that's incorrect.
Sure.
But that's not the focus of what they're doing.
Okay, it's the logistics of the trafficking operation in many areas and the people who operate that as opposed to sort of the specifics of what they're engaged in.
So that it basically, if the Gardaí can work with other jurisdictions, they were very clear by saying whatever versions of the law we had here, they would police that.
Okay. Violet Ann Wynne, what's your view on the health-led approach and what it can achieve? And I'll put that question to you as well. Do you think people's expectations need to be managed as to what can be achieved by this approach?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I do have to say that, you know, when the Citizens' Assembly had sat, I was obviously watching with bated breath to see, you know, what was going to come out of this. And I was a little bit disappointed, you know, I was explaining to your researcher that, you know, when it came to the voting system that was used at that Citizens' Assembly, you know, there was a lot of members who actually stood up and said that they didn't fully understand. And if you look at actually where the first preference votes actually went, there was more there for legalisation than there was for the health-led approach, and only when, you know, the process of elimination did the health-led approach win. So I just wanted to say that at the beginning. And look, for me, it's always about decriminalisation. I'll never forget my third year in psychology in Trinity. You know, one of our research projects was looking at the rehabilitation of prisoners, and I was really, I suppose, impressed by the governor of Mountjoy at the time, who had said to me, you know, it's an awful pity because, you know, the prisons are actually a school of criminality, and that's where people end up making most of their contacts and oftentimes come out more equipped and more educated in the criminal world than they were before going in. And it just always made an impression on myself. And look, from studying psychology as well, I suppose I have quite a different approach maybe to, I suppose, addiction and drug use. And I would see a lot of that stemming from huge trauma, as what the witnesses today had outlined, that young girl, or the 65-year-old, I think, that had gone through all of that trauma when she was a very young age.
But was still obviously, carrying the trauma of a 7-year-old with her up to later in life.
Of course. So for me, like, I've been very strong on saying that criminalisation has not worked. We're not seeing any benefits, never mind the fact that it's draining resources. So there is a huge level of reform that is required. And, you know, from listening even to the witnesses this morning, the fact that nurses can prescribe opiates but can't prescribe the opiate substitute treatment was just, you know, shocking. I mean, how has that gap existed for so long? To me, it makes sense that they would be allowed and that would be legislated for. It's a no-brainer. But, you know, in general terms, you know, as someone who kind of grew up in a very disadvantaged area, I know that those communities are heavily policed, I suppose. And, you know, I think decriminalisation would go a huge way to, you know, building or maybe rebuilding that relationship between the police and authorities and the communities. So I think there's an awful lot of merit in decriminalisation.
Gino Kenny, some of those communities may be very heavily policed, but you will hear some of the most virulent opposition in those communities on the issues of legalisation, decriminalisation. They have been through the likes of the 1980s when heroin first hit the streets, and the last thing a lot of parents and families want is for drugs to be even more visible in their communities, which they fear would be the outcome of a different approach to drugs, notwithstanding the shortcomings of the current policies.
I think you could have said that maybe 10 years ago. I mean, I grew up in a community that was absolutely ravaged by drug abuse. And my life experience was shaped by not more kind of, you can't police your way out of this column. It's just impossible, right? And the policies that the state has, put forward.
As a matter of interest, and I'm just drawing on your own experience here, was there ever a point in your life where you thought more enforcement was necessary and then you hit a tipping point to say, actually, this isn't the answer?
This is not the answer.
No.
Not the answer. I remember going around with my mother and my father, going around to people that were selling heroin, going around to the house and so forth. And that was the initial reaction by working class communities, because they were seeing like family members literally die in front of them. But we've kind of moved on. I think most communities and most people kind of have critiqued the kind of what went wrong in the last 50 years. And now I think are saying, look, what went on the last 50 years, we need to do something different. And right. That difference is stop criminalising people for using drugs.
I'm knocking on doors in Dublin 1 at the moment, and I think that there's a lot of communities who still worry a great deal about the idea that we would relax our approach to drugs, and I take those fears very, very seriously. I don't think we should dismiss them, and I don't think we should say that they're necessarily wrong, because, you know, they are also living at the coalface of drug intimidation and communities that feel that, you know, it's not safe and they can't let their kids out on the street. One thing that Professor Catherine Comiskey said today, and I thought it was very useful, and she was consistently referring back to specific pieces of research. She said that in her estimation of the research, it shows that more lenient policing environments or more lenient legislation doesn't increase use, but more punitive legislative environments don't decrease the use. So actually, whoever's going to use drugs will use it anyway. The criminality that comes with that will happen anyway. It's just a case of, do you consider the person who takes a drug to have a health issue? Or do you consider them to have undertaken a criminal act? And we have tried the latter version of it for 40 or 50 years, and we are in the mire. We have the highest drug deaths in Europe. It is a failure. And I think it might be time to try something else.
OK, we're going to take a break. We're going to move on to another issue after this, the motion on the final report of the Joint Committee on Assisting Dying. Stay with us.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.